Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
B-Pod Studios.
You're listening to Checkpoint AFK. To listen to the full episode, go to checkpointxp.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint AFK. Your host, Norris Howard, here alongside Robbie Landis, Chad Callahan, and Weird Beard. Listen, I'm going to just come out here and say this right now. If I had the power to do so, I will put the rest of this year on fucking trip skip so I can get right to Cyberpunk 2077, because 2020 has been absolute trash, and this is the only thing I have left to look forward to in terms of video games. So, you know, they had a big event, the Night City Wire stream with our good friend Holly Bennett, who was hosting it. Holly's awesome. We met her out at TwitchCon, myself and Chad. But this Cyberpunk stream and the subsequent info dump that we got about Cyberpunk has done nothing but excite me even more for this game. Robbie, I know you are lit as well. What impressed you the most about what you saw?
I think what I'm most looking forward to, right, because I think it was a Kotaku article kind of described it as being Deus Ex meets System Shock meets Fallout meets Grand Theft Auto. And when I think about the games that are similar to this, and even what we've seen, I think pales in comparison. You think of your Skyrims, you think of your Fallouts, but there's still something about those. Even though you can put hundreds of hours into them, there's still like rails that you're kind of on, right? And as you're playing through them, even the stuff that's random, that kind of breaks it up, still ends up feeling planned out in some way. And I think what's most ambitious about this, and I may be setting myself up for failure, right? But there's just something about Night City and about Cyberpunk that is looking to take all of that to the next level. I'm really looking forward to a game that isn't just using the every time you play it, it's a different experience.
Yeah,
a pitch line, right? Like, all right, perfect example. Mass Effect for me was the first game where when they said your choices matter, they really actually matter, right? And so this is the first time that I feel like when they say, like, you can play this game over and over and over again, and it's different every time you play it, I really believe that this time.
No, I'm with you, man. And I think the thing that I saw is that this is going to give me a real good chance to kind of get into, like, peak CD Projekt Redness, if you will. Because like,
I have skipped out on a lot of The Witcher, man.
No, I have The Witcher 3. There is no way in hell I am finishing that game. I'm not finishing that game.
It's a slog after a certain point.
Well, beyond it being a slog, it's just too big. And I'm going to be honest, I'm through playing medieval shit. I'm over it. I don't want to play any more sword and board games. Like, I'm done with werewolves and magic and Strigas and all that. I'm done. I don't want to play that.
I want a rocket launcher in my arm now. That's what I want.
Exactly. And I think about Cyberpunk, just not the game, but the genre. And I think about how that genre has never truly been explored, ever.
Especially in a AAA capacity.
Exactly, with a AAA game. That's the part of me that is more intrigued by this than anything that I could think of. We have never got a good Ghost in the Shell video game. The Cyberpunk pen and paper was semi-popular for a while. And then we just, like, that's it. Everything else has been, like, post-apocalyptic. So we never got that, like, in-between where you have this Cyberpunk thing. And I'm really excited about the stuff that I heard. So I watched a lot of Jeff Keighley. And for somebody like Keighley to be like, guys, everything I played is amazing. And I am all, literally Keighley says, I am afraid of this game because of how big it is.
I am afraid. I think, one of the great things that I had read too was how there isn't, Because in the Cyberpunk pen and paper game, there are classes, but in Cyberpunk 2077, there isn't any classes. You just build your character the way that you want to build your character, right? If you want to be like a straight up, you know, rogue type character who sneaks around and does assassinations, you can. You want to be that same character, but with explosives, you can.
Like, okay, so what do you think when they were designing the game, CD Projekt Red, what did they rank as the top three most important things? Because my favorite thing from watching the trailers and what we've seen so far has been just atmosphere is the number one thing.
Yes.
You know what aesthetic. I mean? Like, aesthetic is so important to this game, and I get it because it's just like one game that also stuck really closely to this was Hotline Miami, right?
Yes.
Where, like, even if it was, hey, we'd love to do some other stuff that's really, really cool, we can't because it just doesn't fit this aesthetic. And I hope if that's what they have as their, like, North Star, I think it's going to work well only because so many games suffer from, like, shit that just gets shoved in them. You know what I mean? Like, a progression mm-hmm. system that doesn't make sense. Or, like, once a game makes one thing popular, every game has to have it whether or not it fits. Cyberpunk looks to be the kind of game that goes, no, that doesn't fit in the atmosphere universe that we're making here. You know, like, not having classes, good. You know what I mean? Like, don't make me have to have these made-up class names that are essentially just, oh, I'm a, you know, stealth and attack class.
I'm a rogue.
Yeah, like, whatever. Yeah. I don't give a shit. I'm just, I...
No, I completely agree with you, Rick. I completely agree. I think aesthetic is really at the top of my list for it because, you know, I was talking on stream earlier this week about aesthetic and how important that is, how you have a game like Persona 5 where a clear aesthetic and art directorial choice was made very early on and they did not veer from it. Part of why that game is so good is because the artistic vision is consistent throughout, you know, and then you have a game like Final Fantasy 15, which feels like four different games mashed together and they never could really figure out what it was supposed to be.
Yeah, like what the fuck are we doing here?
Exactly. So I agree that aesthetic is top of mind. I think the second thing is story and dialogue because I intend on playing this game very not combat focused. Like I intend my first playthrough to be slow, methodical, and like not very combat focused.
Seeing as much as you can.
Yes, yeah. Seeing as much as I can.
Right there with you, man.
Yeah, you know, I have no intentions of beating this game in 60 hours,
I'm not really sure how to classify this, right? But I think one of the other things that really jumped out to me, and this is one of the reasons why I think taking this game as slow as you can is going to be very important, is it seems like there are so many systems that are in this game, but they're so thought out, right? There's that, what was it called? A brain jacking or brain dancing, right?
Brain jacking.
Like, whatever it was, like that whole concept, you know, and again, this is something else that Kotaku article really pointed out to me, that whole concept of being able to like jack into someone's memory and then be able to like see all of these things, like play detective, that could be its own game. Right? Yeah. Like you can make an entire game based around that. And then you have the ability, you know, whether it's during combat or out of combat, to be able to just hack into everything around you.
Yeah, it's Arkham Asylum. Yeah.
And then you have your stealth combat, you have your hand-to-hand combat, you have actual, you know, using rocket launchers and pistols and guns and stuff. There's so much to this world that I feel like that's, and maybe, I don't know, maybe it goes back to the aesthetic or the design, but there's just so much of this world that is going to make it feel so much more alive, you know, as iconic and as great as something like VATS is in Fallout, that's really what, that's all combat ends up being. It's just VATS. It's just VATS the whole time. And knowing that you have all these different options constantly all around you to interact with this world, like, oh, why isn't it November yet?
Yeah. And so, Chad, I want to ask you because, you know, I know, you know, Cyberpunk is not necessarily your cup of tea, really, and so I want to get your
guys. It's like, oh, the Keanu game.
I want to get your perspective on this because everybody I talk to is over the moon and super excited. What will it take for this game to win you over completely and to say I'm spending my $60 on this?
I mean, it already has. I mean, the mm-hmm. thing about this game that I'm excited about is like, yeah, I like horror genre, but I also like just exploration games in general. Hence why I enjoy Minecraft so much. It's essentially just a do whatever the fuck you want exploration game. And that's what kind of is exciting me about Cyberpunk. And my second favorite thing about games is customization. And Omega put the in the chat exactly what I'm excited about. And genital customization.
Of course, Chad.
It cracks me up. I am so excited to just like spend a good 20 minutes figuring out what my genitals look like. I guarantee it. I would film it if I could, but I guarantee we'd get demonetized.
I'm going to be honest with you. The customization is something that I'm very into. Not necessarily the dick part, but the customizations in general. I'm really excited about that. But I want to go around the horn real quick and ask this very straightforward question. What is the thing you are most scared about with Cyberpunk? What could this game drop the ball on that will make you go, oh no, a failure? Yeah,
here's what I'm gonna go. If they put in characters like Half-Life 2, and what I say is like, no, I'm not even trying to make a joke here. I'm not trying to make it funny, but like, dude, Half-Life 2 was so engaging when it was just you as Gordon Freeman, right? Like, and then the moment that I talked to a single character, like, I was, oh, this is a video game, that's right, none of this is like, it just, it took me out. If they focus all on like the atmosphere, and then when it comes to like character interactions, just doesn't, you know what I mean, like it just feels that much off by that much, it's gonna break the immersion for everything. And it's gonna,
I mean, but it's it's a city, so you're gonna have tons of character interactions, like, well,
they have to feel real though, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
I don't think that's going to be a problem, because you know, one of the things, and I keep on going back to this article, which I should probably at least say who wrote it. This was Ian Walker, I think, actually mentions a similar issue to what you have, Rick. But he said what sold him on it was the first real character interaction he had with a character named Serto, who ended up being two people, like two bodies sharing the same consciousness, and interacting with that character is what really sold him on the game. So I don't think
I'm worried about that.
I think for me, what I'm worried about is this is a big, ambitious game. And what I'm afraid of is getting into it, you know, whether it's a skill customization or just learning the game around me. I don't want it to do what FF13 did, Final Fantasy 13, where 8 hours in, you still felt like you were going through tutorials and trying to learn stuff. I like complicated, but you have to be really careful with complicated systems. Because if it's also not something that's intuitive and easy to learn, the overcomplication can really start to turn people off.
Yeah. Chad, what about you?
Honestly, it seems like it's a huge game, but I always worry about certain things just being like super
not actually
on.
Being as big as it seems.
It's super linear. It just seems like if it's not city wide, like I'm walking through Detroit or something, like level, like I want that. I want it to feel like I'm actually going through an entire city and I can find alleyways that have like something happening and I have to step in and do something, you know, and it's just like small minuscule things that takes me 5 minutes to do, but it was something I could actually like, oh, if I was walking down the street, I could actually see that in real life. Or
yeah, we talked about that in other open world games, where we were saying the mark of a good open world is if you actually like get out of the car and walk, like literally walk just to experience the world.
Right.
I agree. I think the biggest thing for me is that I feel like the game is so big, I don't want it to be a game that does so much just okay. I want it to be like, even if there are certain things, like the brain dance thing is cool, but I'm okay with that not being like stellar if everything else is great. I'm okay with certain aspects being, all right, that's fine. The last thing I want is for all of it to be kind of mediocre.
That's how I
felt
about
a really nice skin on it.
Norris.
Yes, exactly. Dogs? Exactly.
Yeah. No, not Watch Dogs, Sleeping Dogs. Oh, Watch Dogs. Oh, I never played any of the Watch Dogs games. But in Sleeping Dogs, like, I had a lot of fun with it. But after about 8 hours, I'm like, but I guess I'm kind of done. I'm just doing the same stuff over and over again. And it's just all right.
You know, it's the other thing that I, while having this conversation, that I think they really have to nail is how you get around. Like, because if they are going to just hammer on how big everything is, if it's an empty ass city, you know what I mean? Like, or it's boring to go from point to point to point. And like, if that's what you spend the most time on, you know, like Death Stranding made that their focus, where they go, yo, how you get around is so important. That's what you spend the most time doing. Exactly. If it's just like one thing that I don't really play Grand Theft Auto games, but like a lot of the traversal in that game is just like get in a car and go drive for 5 minutes. You know what I mean? Like head in this direction. Eventually you'll end up in another place. I think it's got to be entertaining to be able to go somewhere. And if not, it doesn't matter how big it is.
Well, I
agree. A fine line to walk, because you also don't want there to be so much going on in between that you never make it to where you're going.
But that's the Red Dead argument, though, is that the game is so beautiful and filled with so much sort of lush environments, but it takes forever to go from one point to another one, to the point where it feels like traversal is an excuse to pad the game. Like, the game is a 90-hour game, but I guarantee you if they made travel a little bit more intuitive, maybe shrunk the world a little bit, that it's probably a 60-hour game. I'm pretty sure you spent like 15 hours just riding around, going from place to place. And so I agree with Rick that I would hate for it to be a game where I feel like the vast majority of what I'm doing it's just going from point A to point B. That would be awful. But I would like it. Yeah, it would be disappointing. I would like it if that, you know, and Robbie, you said it to the point of where you would hate it to where there's so much stuff that I get distracted. No, do that. I'd rather that. I'd rather me be on the way to a mission and I go, what the fuck is that? And I stop and I go do something. And next thing you know, I done triggered a quest line. Fuck it.
Well, No. Hold on.
Very well, actually.
Wait. That's the important part, though. If you're triggering a quest line, that's one thing, right? And that's why I said it's a fine line, because I don't want it to feel like, you know, every time I try to go to continue onto a quest line, that one of the, you know, the random things just happens, right? That isn't necessarily tied to anything, but it's constantly pulling you away. Or I don't want like to feel like I have to ignore something in order to, I don't know. I guess it's really hard to put into words, but it's such a fine line between feeling like the world is alive and I have agency to do what I want, and the game always trying to pull me in a direction anytime I go to do something else.
Yeah, the Radiant Crust is what they named the Radiant Crust.
Another settlement needs your help.
There you go. Yes. Oh my God. Okay, yeah. Can we not do that? But anyway, so just final thoughts on Cyberpunk. I mean, I know Ghost of Tsushima comes out next year, but that's not going to be anywhere near this game. I'm just putting that out there right now. It looks fine. You know, it looks like a passable AAA game, but it's not going to be on this level. So, final thoughts on Cyberpunk. I know we'll be getting more information on it as the summer and fall continues on. But one thing I want to ask everybody before we leave is that Cyberpunk comes out. Which Origin are you choosing? Because I know which way I'm going. Because you get to choose, like, Corpo, Street Kid, or Nomad.
Oh.
And Nomad start, like, out in the dusty, like,
do they have colors associated with them? Because that's always how I choose.
You'll probably be Nomad, because I'm sure they'll probably have, like, I don't know, blue and neon or something.
Well, I was going to say, it depends, because, like, I don't like playing with other people, and I don't think there's any, this is more like, this is very single player game, right? Like, but so I don't know. So
what does that mean?
I don't like in my games, like when I played World of Warcraft, for example, I played by myself. I didn't like, unless there was like my mom or my friend playing with me, like someone I physically knew, like I'm not going to meet some stranger and like, yeah, let's join up and like play together. No, I'm playing by myself.
No, it's single player. Yeah.
So, I mean, but instinctively I would go Nomad for that reason, but I'm basing this off of nothing that I know of the whole origin thing.
All right, Robbie.
I think that I'll probably go Nomad as well, because being that I don't know a whole lot about Night City, I feel like that's going to be the closest sort of character choice to what me as a player kind of feels about the city, you know, going into a city that you don't probably quite know or understand a whole lot about.
All right, Rick.
I'm reading it right now because I want to give a good answer.
But
what I will say is that I think I want to choose I hope they give a weird one. You know what I mean? Like, if they make them all super serious and super tough guy, I'm not going to love it. But if they put a really odd weird ball one in there, I'm in.
Oh, does they're all tough. Affect it's... your the way you look at all or no?
No. The choices will basically affect the way that certain characters throughout the game treat you.
Gotcha. All right.
Yeah. So, like, if you start as Nomad, you'll probably get treated like, oh, this old country bumpkin who knows nothing about Night City, whatever. If you're a street kid, you're like, you know, you're supposed to be streetwise and you know the back alleyways and people may, you know, respect you for that. And if you're a corpo, you're like, you know how the corporations work and the inner workings of like business and stuff like that.
But people on street level will probably treat you like you're an entitled brat.
Yeah, so exactly. Their description, having players shape the backstory, which is what the origin will do, through a series of choices like selecting your childhood hero, a key life event, and the reason for choosing to go to Night City was one of the ideas we were looking at and iterating on early development for character creation. And then they were like, well, we just want to make it so that it's more meaningful and impactful, and they came up with the idea for the life path. So it's Street Kid, Nomad, and Corpo. Street Kid is like the one I would probably go with. It's like a homeless person who just grew up on the streets or whatever. The Nomad is the country bumpkin, and the Corpo is like a white collar. I drink coffee from Starbucks all the time.
Wow.
So y'all know which way I'm going.
Corpo?
What? Which way
Absolutely
is that?
I'm going Corpo.
I have a feeling.
Absolutely. Well, and again, because, you know, what I've seen of the gameplay is that then dictates your dialogue trees as well. So, you know, I feel like if I'm playing the way I'm playing, I want my guy to be very sort of like, you know, talk above people and outwit folks and stuff like that. And so I'll probably go like corpo heavy, like hacker. You know, I don't want to say stealth run, but like I'm not about to run around and like punch people in the face. Like, that's not the run I'm going for.
Not what I'm trying to do.
You're going to play the politics like you have to do in the boardrooms.
Exactly, you know? Yeah. I'm going to play the politics. I'm going to get the gangs to destroy each other so I can stand upon the pile of ashes. That is the way I will be playing Cyberpunk, just like the way I do in real life. But anyway, that is what we're going to end the show on. Thank you, Robbie and Rick and Chad, for being here. I'm so jealous of Chad's camera setup, by the way. I'm like actively angry. But yeah, that's it. So we will see you guys back here next week for more Checkpoint AFK. See you later.
Bye.
See ya.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.